You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's Wednesdays, and as promised, we're going to keep on this path that we've gone down with our friends at the FSCA in order to ensure that you, as our listeners and as consumers and as South Africans, are kept in the know around what's happening, particularly in the financial services sector, and what you need to be aware of. And in keeping with that, I'm joined on the line by the head of enforcement at the FSCA, that's Gerard van Deventer, to take a look at some latest developments from the FSCA. Good evening, Gerard. Always happy to speak to you. Last time we spoke, there were a couple of developments. There was the pronouncement of the penalty that was levied against the late Marcus Huister, and I guess that was the last conversation we had around the enforcement matters from an FSCA perspective. Let's take it from there and just get an update around some of the enforcement matters that you've been involved in. I know there's been a slew of new fines and adjustments that have been made, or pronouncements that have been made from the FSCA lately.
Yes, thank you. Good evening, Jimmy, and good evening, listeners. May I just start off by saying thank you so much for doing this. Enforcement is one thing. We do that. We take it very seriously. But if somebody doesn't help us to get the message out there, then the visible part of visible enforcement falls away. So I'm really speaking on behalf of the FSCA, very grateful for this type of initiatives. It really helps a lot. Yes, so I think we were all a little bit surprised with the Steinhoff-Huister developments. And I know there was a lot of questions around it, and a lot of people wanted to know what happens to the penalty, etc. And I think we've explained already that the penalty is like a civil case, so it stays, it doesn't fall away, it's not like a criminal penalty. So at some stage, the FSCA will consider whether it's going to be levied against the estate or not. But of course, the investigation itself continues because there are other people involved as well. But I don't think you really want to talk about Steinhoff and Huister. So apart from that, there's been some interesting developments. I have to say, Jimmy, if I mention one thing that stands out at the moment, it must certainly be impersonations. It is just everything I see seems to be an impersonation. Now, we obviously don't investigate every case. So what we at least do is try to warn the public about it. But it does seem to be the flavor of the day. In the last week or so, we've issued so many public warnings about impersonators. Some of them are just downright funny. You can't believe people will fall for it. But some of them are very sophisticated. So the public needs to be extremely careful with these things. And I can mention a few if you like. But the other thing I think that's certainly part of the trend is that our scams have now very successfully moved to social media platforms. And if I just look at what I've seen the last few weeks, and maybe months, is Facebook, WhatsApp, and Telegram. That's where these people find a place to operate. And I think the first thing I want to say about that is that you got to understand that legitimate businesses that's going to look after your wealth or do your investments, they are not going to do business on WhatsApp or Facebook or Telegram. I hope not. So that should be your first huge red flag. So I don't know if you want me to speak about a few examples. I'm happy to do that.
Let's get into those examples, Gerard. I mean, the impersonations thing is quite a real one, to the extent that, as you said, there's a couple of different types of impersonation scams out there. I mean, the South African Banking Risk and Information Center, along with the FSCA, issued a warning around those that are impersonating banks. So people are cloning websites, creating banks. Just on our own side as well, we've been reporting on a story that has seen MoneyWeb being attacked as well as part of this impersonation thing. We broke the story around the impersonation of celebrities such as Elon Musk and Johann Rupert. And obviously, we're seeing that these scams are not limited in scope. They impersonate people, they impersonate companies, they impersonate anything that is credible, and we know that the FSCA themselves have been impersonated.
Absolutely correct. There's certainly no limitation on creativity either, Jimmy. It's unbelievable, and you're right. We've also been a victim of this, and including our commissioner, photo and all. And it's most unfortunate because you know things like MoneyWeb and the FSEA and so forth. Mentioning of that or association with that immediately gives some credibility to a scheme, and I don't think you can blame the public, but you know everybody is in such a hurry and so busy that if you see something like that, you relax and you're more likely to miss the red flags. And yes, the Elon Musk one that you were talking about, Odyssey Investment Group. That's where they claimed that Elon Musk was starting a new currency. Now, who would not want to get a part of that? So that is actually one of the warnings that we put out for Odyssey Investment Group. Yes, I know about the MoneyWeb one, and people believe it. Some of the other ones are so well done. You know, if I just look at some of our warnings in the last week. You see a crowd pop up as Latitude Revenue Investors, and then there's an association with Latitude Wealth. Latitude Wealth is an authorized, legitimate financial services provider. But you see that name, and you immediately feel better about it. There's another one. I mean, we've got a very well-known group in South Africa, Signia Group, Signia Asset Management. They're also into insurance. So Signia Trading pops up. And there's so many of those. Swift Crypto Trade impersonated the JSE. So you're absolutely right. Nobody is left alone. Best advice I can put out there, and thank you for putting it out there, is phone the actual company, find the number somewhere else, and phone the company and speak to somebody at the company. But always remember that if you get any communication from anybody, authorized, legitimate, lawful or not, and the offer is just too good to be true, it's because it's too good to be true. So that unrealistic return is certainly your first big red flag. And the other one that you and I have also spoken about before is that vagueness about the product, vagueness about the process. That's another one that people must be on the lookout for. And I suppose the bottom line is don't take another step if you have not confirmed that this is the actual company you're working with or the actual person. And people like Elon Musk and Rupert and so forth, I mean, you would have noticed that there's two parts of that. The one is, of course, AI, big issue. But the other one is just the photo. I mean, you just place the photo there. It's easily recognizable. And it brings that comfort to people who don't look at it any further.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen listening, I want to make something very, very clear, because this is something that has been going on long before I started doing the show, long before this initiative from the FSCA is, as Gerard mentioned, if it's too good to be true, it is. And you apply some logic, please. There isn't the chances that Elon Musk would reach out to you to offer you an incentivized deal to be part of something is very, very slim. Nothing against South Africans and our ability to work with international institutions, but the whole point of these scams is so that we are all educated and aware of the realities that are out there. As we've said, they are not afraid to impersonate the commissioner of the FSCA. They're not afraid to impersonate wealthy individuals in South Africa. Just be exceptionally cautious in what you do. Gerard, as we wrap up the conversation, the warnings that were issued, I know the FSCA has a whole web page, a whole website that where you actually upload each and every warning that has been issued in the public. Can you share with us just some of the investigations that maybe you are able to speak to at the moment, some of the companies that individuals need to be aware of or need to be on the lookout for, that warnings have been issued for? Because a lot of the time we want to get ahead of this. It's one thing to see the warning, but that's a bit late. By the time the FSA has issued the warning, it means somebody's already been a victim. How do we get ahead of this?
Yes, I hear you. Yeah. So we've actually taken the the warning part, the public warning part of the website, and we've moved it to the landing page. So the first step for members of the public is go see if the name of the company is there. That is very important. But the names that you see there are companies or entities or persons that we're not likely to investigate further. We'll hand it over to the police. It's clearly a scam. We just want to put it out there so that people know what's going on. When we do our actual investigations, when we do full investigations, we have a kind of a case selection policy. So we focus on cases that will have the most impact. And of course, we focus a lot on our biggest issue is registered entities or regulated entities that goes astray. If you look at something like NEFG that's under investigation, there's a horrific story. And this was an entity that actually had a license. If you look at the Medbond financial markets case, also under investigation, and we've certainly gone quite far into that investigation, and all of those cases eventually end up with a lot of sad stories. Some of the other cases that we also, well, the one that's finished is of course Pioneer Markets, but a lot of the cases that's also a big worry to us is these online trading platforms and the mirror trading that takes place there, the master and slave accounts and the mirror trading. We can spend some time on that at another stage, but those are all things that are of great concern. The one bit of undertaking I can make is when we finalize a case and we take enforcement action, we make it public, each and every case. We have no choice. We've written that into the law. So sometimes I'm very secretive about cases. I'm very sorry about that, but that I have no choice there. But there does come a time when I can tell the world what we found. So that's a bit of good news.
And we'll continue to harbor on about this. We'll continue to do the little that we can to bring visibility where it is needed. The FSCA knows that in our show, at least, they always have a friend and always have a support. If anyone out there is listening and wants to attempt to impersonate anyone, impersonate myself, impersonate anyone that I know, be warned. We will find you and we will make it a very difficult time for you. We'll leave it at that. Thank you so much, Gerard. That's Gerard van Deventer, Head of Enforcement at the Financial Services Conduct Authority, joining me this week for our Warning Wednesdays as we continue with our consumer education.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.